And a pleasant Monday afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio, streaming nationwide across the country on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to this program, whether you're listening to this program live from the WMFO studios or on demand on iHeartRadio or Odyssey and wherever you get the Shukri Wright podcast, thank you for making this program part of your day. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 2 hours. Got a jam-packed program as we got a lot to get over and talk about, to get over and to get off my chest. 2 hours. Two full hours here with you until 7 p.m. Eastern time. And I can't wait to talk to you, the listener. Phone lines are open. Call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, it's only befitting that I talk about Brady, Belichick, how it all went yesterday. It's only right. I mean, after all, we're talking about a game, a matchup that was built up for months at a time. And that day finally came. It finally came, and it did not disappoint whatsoever. And I'll be the first to tell you that I thoroughly enjoyed the entertainment aspect of the game. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And one of the things that I absolutely believe that really stood out to me, and I think it really played a big part as to the overall feeling surrounding the game yesterday, was that the Patriot fans that came out yesterday, and I was at Gillette yesterday. I was at the tailgate meeting with people, talking with fans, and the general feeling that I got was, we love you, Brady, but you're the enemy tonight. I'm not cheering for you. You are the enemy. You don't play for the Patriots anymore. Those days are gone. It's done. I will be the first to tell you that it was the right mindset to carry. I absolutely supported it. And I made it abundantly clear, in which, by the way, if you're watching Good Morning Football on NFL Network today, you would have seen that I did, in fact, get interviewed by Caleb Burton of NFL Network, and I was on national television this morning. I will post a video of it a little later on today if the NFL mobile app permits me to do so. And one of the things that I was asked, and Caleb Burton asked me this, it was part of a lengthy conversation that her and I had. And I said, you know, I don't hold any hate towards Tom Brady at all. I personally own a Tom Brady jersey. And I'll rock that jersey always till I can't rock that jersey no more. But the reality is that I'm not rooting for Tom Brady tonight. And I said this to her yesterday. And I also mentioned that if I'm going to root for anybody, it's going to be the Patriots, my team. I'm a Patriots fan, not a Tom Brady fan. And I'll be the first to also admit that if there was one thing that really bugged the hell out of me yesterday, it was seeing all of the 50-50 jerseys that came out of the woodworks. And I really began to question out loud, like, why? Why? You are now confirming to me that, no, you're not a Patriots fan. You're a Brady fan. I don't hate you. But don't dare disguise yourself as a Patriots fan. you are a Brady fan. No real Patriots fan is going to show up to a Patriots home game in a Tom Brady 50-50 jersey. And when I say 50-50 jersey, I'm talking about a half Patriots Tom Brady jersey with the number one in the Patriots numerals, and the other half being a Buccaneer jersey with the Buccaneers numeral and design. That kind of nonsense for me personally does not fly. In fact, I'm with Paul Fitzy of WEEI on this one. It was a sore sight for my eyes. I was better off sticking needles in my eyes and serving it as meatballs to a bunch of people at a dinner party than seeing folks walking around in a Tom Brady 50-50 jersey. That's what I was better off doing than having to see the hundreds of people rocking Brady jerseys that were either that were basically 50% Brady, 50% Tampa Bay. How gross. How absolutely gross. Oh, Lord have mercy. Please, 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 please. Someone try to make sense of that. Oh, my God. If I had a dollar for every fan who I saw yesterday walk inside of Gillette Stadium wearing a Tom Brady 50-50 jersey, I'm honestly willing to bet that I would at least collect enough money to make rent for the month of November. That's how many jerseys of Tom Brady 50-50 jerseys I saw. But man, the atmosphere was flat out incredible. Through and through, it really was. From talking to fans, so appearing on national television. And oh, by the way, shout out to all of my friends who hit me up yesterday saying that, hey, I saw you on national television. Oh, my God. Or, hey, I saw you on WCVB Channel 5 6 o'clock news yesterday evening at Gillette Stadium. Thank you to all of you who did that. Because there was quite a few. Between text, between Facebook, between Instagram, social media. Oh, it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely, and I loved every minute of it. But I would also say this. But I also do believe that it is important to get yourself out there. Get yourself out there. Don't get camera shy. Let people see you in who you are and in terms of as well as being confident in who and what you are. That's really what that is all about, more than anything else. Let me pose to you this question, Patriots fans. For those who were there to tailgate, who went inside the game, or whatever, what was your impression of the crowd yesterday? You can call in and let me know what you thought at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We can talk about it. I'll be here with you live until 7 p.m. as I am every single Monday afternoon, soon to be Monday evenings, as the sunset is getting earlier and earlier and earlier. But going back to the Patriots in terms of the crowd yesterday, the crowd was really outstanding. From the time that I arrived at Gillette, having gotten stuck in traffic on 93 heading down to Foxborough, and for those who have made that journey from Boston or even from the South Shore, you know exactly what I'm talking about, in which that you have seen, and I mean you have seen, the traffic that's on 93 crawling down past those towering water towers in Dorchester as you're heading into Quincy and beyond. Oh, man. Can I tell you that how much I absolutely did not miss that whatsoever? But the individual who I rode with, we both talked about this and we said, you know something? We all know what this is. It was people heading to the game. And here's the part that I found it to be comedy, comical. The other part that I saw was, one, there were a number of trucks that were on 93 that I saw that was loaded with tailgating stuff. So you knew, if you were driving on 93 yesterday, you knew where they were going. Gillette, Foxborough, that's where they're all going. I knew it. Because one of my dearest friends, Chris, was one of those trucks on 93 yesterday. But man, the whole trek down 93 and then hopping on 95 and then the good old drive down Route 1, passing through Walpole to Gillette, was just a whole scene of fans. And once you saw Gillette Stadium, as you're driving towards Gillette Stadium, off to the left in the distance, all I can say to myself is, oh man, what a beauty. What an absolute beauty. And then for those who follow me on Twitter, and if you don't, follow me on Twitter now, at Shukri Writes, as at S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S. That's at Shukri Writes, at S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S. And I posted this video on Twitter in which that you can see that the vehicle that I'm in, we're pulling into the parking lot, and it's already pretty close to being filled with people that have their tent up, tailgating, cooking up a storm. You could smell the aroma as soon as you're driving into the parking lot, and it was just absolutely electric. And then just being able to, you know, intermingle with fans, talk to people, have the opportunity to just say hello, talk with Patriot fans, talk with members of the media, television crew. Oh, it was magnificent. What was there not to like? Honestly. But there was one thing that I didn't like, and that was, as I mentioned, the hundreds of Tom Brady 50-50 jerseys. It was just so gross. Like, are you kidding me? This is what we're doing. So you're telling me basically without telling me that you're a Tom Brady fan. That's okay. You like who you want to like. Cool. Fine. But don't sit here on a Monday afternoon or Monday evening and proclaim that, oh no, I'm a Patriots fan. Oh yeah? Oh, okay. Okay. I remember you from yesterday. 50-50 guy. Not I. Man, listen. Yesterday was really one of those instances where how could you have not enjoyed the atmosphere given what it was and remembering just how good we had it for 20 years here in New England. And I'll be the first to tell you, the atmosphere was electric. It did not disappoint. Patriot fans, once we got closer to kickoff yesterday, there was no disappointment whatsoever in terms of the energy, in terms of just the appreciation for Brady. But then also, once the Patriots took the field, there was an even louder roar for Mac Jones. And that I got to give Patriot fans a lot of credit for. Because I talked about this last week on the show, in which that I was worried. I was worried that considering what Tom Brady has meant to this organization, and of course the New England region, I was concerned that there would be a louder cheer for Tom Brady than there would be for the Patriots. But no, I was proven wrong. And I'm glad to have been proven wrong last night. Man, I got a jam-packed program for you for over the next hour, 45 minutes. We are going to touch on Yankees-Red Sox. That's coming up just a little later on in the show. I'd say at 6 o'clock we're gonna start talking Major League Baseball postseason. It's befitting. It's absolutely befitting. We had a crazy day in baseball yesterday. I'm gonna talk about that beginning at 6 o'clock. But for right now, during this first hour, I am gonna talk about the Pats Bucks. I talked about the atmosphere that was at Gillette Stadium yesterday, and now coming up next, I'm going to sit here and tell you exactly why I think yesterday's game was absolutely a sign of things to come. I think there was a lot of positives that I saw in last night's game that I'm going to point out. That's coming up just shortly, right on the other side of this music break, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM. WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, touch free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
What? So insatiable till the lights came on and the stories got old. Now there's no one here I know, and the city outside's not the same anymore. And I remember when we were young, we'd write our names in the sand so carelessly. I'll do this on my own. We knew it all then, now this is all I know. Guess I'm heading home now. Always played with the sound of our lies and the sweetest escape, and the neighbors would complain. We would turn it up louder, who cares anyway? Cause we remember that we were young, our lives were grains in the sand, that we made our castles and kingdoms up.
How are you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
Some new pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, long way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free from Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. And I'm going to play that PSA all over again because for some reason there was a mixture of between automation and the PSA itself. I don't know why, but nonetheless, here we go. PSA for this hour is brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
To find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40. One more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And that PSA is brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. We're going to continue talking about the Pats and Bucks game last night and some things that I saw in the game that really stood out to me big time. One of those things that has really stood out to me during this game was that overall, it really does look like that Mac Jones truly is the guy of the future for the New England Patriots. I mean, you got to give credit where it's due. If you were at the game last night, if you watched the game at home, I couldn't help but to be impressed by the poise. The poise that Mac Jones, possessed, despite facing pressure, despite getting hurried at times. And also, I got to give a great deal of credit to the defense as well for doing a pretty darn good job of limiting Tom Brady to just under 20 points last night. And also, equally as importantly, that you could make an argument that this was the Patriots' best well-played game from an overall perspective, and yet they still lost. Well, what does that tell you? If anything, that should tell you an awful lot. I mean, I would think, right? If you want to call in to talk about the game or talk about the atmosphere that was last night, you can at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Phone lines are open. And one of the things that I really had the opportunity to think about earlier was that fateful decision that was made inside of 2 minutes remaining left. Bill Belichick, we've seen this time and time again this season, that he likes to be rather conservative when it comes to Mac Jones. And for the life of me, I'm beginning to think that this is actually more of a detriment than a positive for the Patriots. So, for those who may not remember or have a hard time remembering, so the Patriots have the ball, and they're driving the ball down the field. This is late in the fourth quarter, like inside of 2 minutes remaining. Less than that, actually. They have the ball. They're driving the ball down the field. Mac Jones is making the plays that he's supposed to make. And for some reason, Bill Belichick says, kicking team, let's go. And this is after failing to convert on a third and three. So it's now 4-3. And if you're the head coach in this situation, you have to be thinking, well, do you go for it now or do you kick? And what's interesting is that Belichick decided that he was going to kick. And I was just shocked. Because at this point in time, now it's what? A minute and 50 something remaining in the game, give or take. My first thought is, you have to, and I mean, you absolutely have to go for it. But Bill Belichick says, no, we're not going to go for it. Nick Folk, go ahead. And once I realized what was happening, my first thought is, I don't like this move at all. I don't like this move at all. And I mentioned this on Twitter, that shortly after Nick Folk missed it and it hit the left uprights, that call by Belichick was the call that ultimately cost the Patriots the game. Like, seriously. Like, be honestly and truthfully, I tweeted it out shortly after it happened. And there are Patriot fans saying, no, 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 that's not true. You got to kick it in this situation. I didn't like all of the different factors that led to Bill Belichick deciding that he was going to kick it to play it, quote unquote, safe. How does playing it safe do you any benefit? Like, and I mean this seriously. What good does that do for you? It doesn't do you much good. If anything, what I thought was that the Patriots have got to be aggressive in situations like that. It was third and short. It wasn't like it was completely not manageable. Like you were asking him to complete a fourth and 10 with the game on the line. I get that. Fair enough. And not to say that he wouldn't be able to like convert it if he'd been asked to. But what I'm saying is, especially for a rookie quarterback who hasn't been in these kind of situations before, you got to go for it in that situation. In my tweet, I said that call ultimately cost the Patriots the game. And Patriot fans were saying, no, 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 it didn't. And I'm like, no, yes, it did. Yes, it did. Because in my mind and in my book, the way I look at it is this. How do you begin to instill confidence in your quarterback if you are afraid to take a chance? At one point, ladies and gentlemen, I was saying that I was beginning to become really concerned about the Patriots and their inability to get the ball down the field, throw the ball down the field, and be a bit more aggressive with the play calling. They improved in that area. I'll give them that. But if we're going to be completely honest, that's not going to be enough. You needed to be aggressive in a situation in which that you have the better guy on the field last night. Yes, I'm saying that Belichick had the better quarterback on the field last night, and it wasn't Tom Brady, it's Mac Jones. Because if you're a Patriots fan, you have to think that there were a lot more positives than negatives when it came to the Bucs and Pats game last night, especially as it pertains to Mac Jones. Like, some of the minor issues, like injuries and so forth, that'll get fixed and taken care of. So I'm not worried about that. But as far as the situation calls for last night, 4th and 3, it's a 56-yard field goal. And then, oh, by the way, it was raining cats and dogs in Foxborough. There was some wind. But the conditions were rather messy. And then, oh, by the way, Nick Folk also has a bad plant leg. You mean to tell me that you are willing to absolutely go for that in those kind of conditions, on top of the fact that you are already driving the ball down the field with Mac Jones, working his magic? Oh, man. I don't get it. Which is why last night I tweeted out after the game saying that, oh, by the way, Belichick cost you the win. And the responses were rather strong. But I stood by it. I stood by it 100%. And it's interesting because I was listening to other programs this morning, like Zolak and Bertrand, for example. During that first segment, this was mentioned. This was talked about. And one of the things that I did say, especially post-game, was that if you are going to trust Mac Jones fully, you have to be willing to let him take risk. You can only protect him for so long. And my greatest fear when it comes to Belichick in this regard is this, is that whatever that he may have thought worked with Brady is going to work with Mac Jones. And that right now, ladies and gentlemen, that type of thinking is a recipe for disaster. No question. There's no question in my mind about that. I mean, if you had to pause for a moment and just close your eyes, imagine the following. You're in good position. You're in good field position. Mac Jones is making all the plays that you've asked him to make with ease, with absolute ease and precision. And now suddenly you say that, hey, we are not going to let this kid take any chances or make any mistakes. We're going to take the game away from him. And for ladies and gentlemen, for all of you that may have saw or listened to the press conference by Mac Jones last night, you could tell that he was pissed. I was pissed. Because that is a situation that you have to let your quarterback go out and make that mistake or let him or trust him to make that play. That's what you have to do. You can't continue to coddle Mac Jones and think you're going to win games. Last night was another example of that. Last night was a prime example of what happens when you're not willing to let your quarterback take control of the game. 4th and 3, you're inside Buccaneers territory, by the way. Call the play. You call the play. And if you got to audible out the play, then so be it. Then so be it. The defense played well. They kept Tampa Bay under 20 points, which is actually a compliment and a damn good accomplishment considering the weapons that they have. Offensively, they were better last night. The Patriots were better than they were a week ago against the Saints. They were so much far and away better than that. Mac Jones was outstanding throwing the ball. I thought that Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry finally came to play. And when I say finally, I mean absolutely finally. Where the hell were you? Come to play. They showed up last night. And even then, and even with all of that, and even then, you have to be thinking to yourself, man, what the hell do the Patriots have to do to buy a win at home? Because right now, they're now 0-3 at home. The only win that they have on the season so far was down at MetLife Stadium against the New York Jets. That's it. But in the 3 losses at home, Miami, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay, Not good. Not good at all. It's frustrating when you really begin to just pause for a moment and to just think about it as, I like to say, the sensibility of it all begins to really seep in. It's frustrating, very frustrating. We got another segment to go before we hit the second hour of the program. Coming up next, let's talk about specifically the red zone, the progress that the Patriots made last night in the red zone. There were a couple of things that I really liked that I saw in last night's game that absolutely stood out to me. I'm going to tell you exactly what that was. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright, here with you live until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
It's another race around the space. deep down, deep down, da di da 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 do da da. Deep down, da di da da. Deep down, da di.
Things are right, that you just know. There is something in your eyes that brings me home. 'Cause when there's love, you don't let go. So as long as you're with me, you're not alone, you'll never be. I wanna tell you what I feel and really mean it. I wanna shout it from the rooftops to the sky. 'Cause if you ever need a friend, you know I'll be it. From tonight until we see the end of time.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Here with you live until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the telephone to reach me. And I want to spend these next few minutes talking about some things that I saw from last night's game that really stood out to me before I transitioned into the second hour of the program. And that is, first and foremost, talk about some of the things that has plagued this team early on. still, and I mean still, is an issue for this team. I'm talking about the penalties, the turnovers, but there was one penalty in particular that really should not have been called. A pass interference on Kyle Van Noy was absolutely, and I mean absolutely, just gutless. I mean, when I say that it was gutless, I mean that it was gutless in a sense of we are really going to focus our energy, referees, calling ticky-tack penalties. Like, come on, like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here? Is this the kind of tone that you are trying to set for the remainder of the game? I mean, that was it. But then also, the turnovers. Oh, boy. The turnovers, I'm telling you, are something that is killing this team in 2021. Remember on that second possession of the game in which that Jacoby Myers, he caught the ball from Mac Jones, and then it initially looked like that he had fumbled the ball, but it was overturned, which stopped the Buccaneers from taking over the ball deep inside of Patriots territory at that. I mean, those are the things that has absolutely killed the Patriots in 2021 so far. Turnovers. I mean, at home, they have to be at least close to, if not the worst team in the NFL when it comes to turnover differential at home. I mean, it's just brutal. Absolutely brutal. And then, also, the interception by Anton Winfield Jr. Because on Mac Jones, he dropped back. He threw that pass that went through the hands of Nelson Aguilar. And I'm sure Eagle fans have heard of this before. He can't catch the ball. Yeah, he couldn't catch the ball on that play because the ball went literally right through the hands of Aguilar and into the hands of Anton Winfield. And then, lastly, how about too many men on the field? Like, can the Patriots figure out a way to count how many players they have on the field? Like, seriously, is it that freaking hard to count how many guys you have on the field at a time? You're supposed to have 11 offensive personnel and 11 defensive personnel. Like, that too many men on the field penalty really irritates the living hell out of me. Like, wow, 12-man penalty on the defense at that, which, oh, by the way, it turned a 3rd-and-7. It was originally a 3rd-and-7 for the Buccaneers, but it became a 3rd-and-2, which, oh, it's Tom Brady. He doesn't need no help converting a 3rd-and-2 into another set of new first downs and a new set of downs and so forth. Oh, my God. These are the things that literally drive me off the wall. Carelessness. Careless penalties. Costly penalties. Have been the theme for the New England Patriots in 2021. They're not beating other teams. They're beating themselves with stupid penalties like this. Too many men on the field. I mean, the catch and the fumble that was overturned, and in which the Bucs were not able to get the ball. And then also on the next possession, Mac Jones' pass going to the hands of Nelson Aguilar. I mean, goodness grief. I mean, the penalties is something that it really does come down to coaching. Because from a Bill Belichick coach team, you expect that the Patriots will be a lot more disciplined than what they are. And certainly so far through the first four games, they have been very, very poorly disciplined in terms of staying away from penalties, especially stupid penalties at that. And then, oh, by the way, Michael Onwenu, thank you very much for the two holding penalties that you had in the second quarter. I mean, goodness grief. And then you're asking guys like Kendrick Bourne to bail the offense out with two big plays in that second quarter at that. But if there's something that absolutely irritates the hell out of me out of the 2021 New England Patriots, is the penalties in which that it digs the team into a hole. And then you have to try to dig yourself out of that hole just to give yourself a fighting chance. You can't play and win football games like this. You just can't. But thankfully, I mean, goodness grief. Kendrick Bourne, he played all right in this game. He had two catches and then both going for 16 yards following those two penalties. The Patriots, on that drive, they scored. They scored a touchdown. But remember, that drive lasted 11 plays and over 6 minutes of game time eating off the clock. It's the theme that I'm going to continue to hammer home every single week until they get it right. Their inability to not beat themselves. I mean, good grief. It was absolutely maddening to watch. When we sit here and you talk about the things that the Patriots did not do well, and that is, number one, the penalties, not taking care of the ball. And I mentioned this on Twitter last night, and it's there on my Twitter page, at Shukri Writes, that in 2021, for some reason that I cannot explain, I cannot understand, is the Patriots seem to be a little reckless with the football, more than I like. Which is never. Never. Why are they so reckless with the football in 2021 is truly beyond me. Fumbles, lost fumbles, fumbles that are overturned in which that the Patriots are able to keep the ball. But the problem is that they have been a turnover machine. They're not forcing turnovers. They're creating turnovers on the offense. Drop passes, balls going through the hands of receivers, fumbling the football.